And there are ways that if you change your assumptions on how you've always gone to market for talent and you question, does it have to be the way I've always done it? It does open up the pool.
Welcome to Women Talk Tech, the podcast for business professionals committed to advancing women in the tech sector.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Talk Tech. I'm your host, Marie Weiss. And today, my guest is Tina Jones. And Tina is the Senior Vice President of Global Human Resources at Cadence Design Systems. And she's a global business leader who has been doing a lot of work on the in the areas of compensation, recruitment, a lot of different things that are issues that the tech sector has been dealing with. And we've talked about some of these issues on past shows. Tina's going to help us unbundle some of these topics and really hitting at the hard issues around whether we're still seeing these problems in the industry or whether we've started to make some progress. Welcome to the show, Tina.
Thanks for having me, Marie. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, Tina, you have done a lot of really awesome things. And as always, we'll be putting a link to Tina's bio in the show notes. But you currently are at a company that has 10,000 employees. You sit on the board of another company as the chair of the compensation committee. You have an amazing background. I believe you're a lawyer as well as being a head of HR, which is incredibly impressive. Give us your take on what you've seen over the last little while. Let's talk about compensation first and foremost. And we're still seeing these numbers that, you know, women are making 77 cents on the dollar. And I'm just curious from your perspective, because I think where you sit, you've got an amazing bird's eye view into the tech sector, into Silicon Valley, what's happening. Give us your view on what's happening from a compensation perspective these days.
Such a great question, and something that just feels so obvious to most of us that, you know, equal pay is table stakes, right? That's not even that aspirational, right? And so something that, you know, those of us in leadership jobs, who, you know, care tremendously about, you know, and it's become best practice at, you know, most established high-tech companies to do a review of their pay practices. We do that annually. So we're looking at all aspects of pay. We're looking at it at all of our positions globally. And, you know, we've come to the conclusion that, you know, our pay is equal for positions, you know, at all of our locations that Cadence has around the world. So we're in about 25 countries, you know, 60 plus sites and things like that. So it's something we put a lot of rigor into. We also look at promotion rates, right? And we feel very pleased that women are actually being promoted at a faster rate than men. And so we do that look, and that's not uncommon. That's many companies are doing that. But, you know, when you go, you know, underneath the covers at most companies and you really look at why are we struggling to have women in leadership jobs, you know, when you really start to look below, there are issues there. Many high-tech companies are struggling to have female leaders. And then pay becomes an issue. If there's a drop-off, right, women are not doing as well from a compensation point of view during their careers. If their, you know, careers are sort of plateauing or they're not getting the VP job and things like that. So, I mean, we're not home free. I think we're just, you know, sort of making sure that the foundation is not completely broken. I think we need to really crack the nut on why we're not succeeding with more women. I'm talking industry-wide. Women are not, you know, being promoted and making it into really important leadership positions more consistently in high tech.
I think that's a great point, a great question. And, you know, for some of our listeners who are small and medium-sized businesses, I know the immediate question is, gosh, if a company like Cadence is still having a hard time cracking the nut on that one, you know, what hope is there for the rest of us? Because it sounds right. like you're putting a lot of thought and time and money and resources into making sure that this is addressed. And do you have any initial thoughts as to why this is still the case? What are you seeing?
Such a good question. And I mean, you're really getting at the heart of something that is just, you know, we've got a number of people taking a close look at it. We're talking to women at Cadence. We are trying to figure out how we can improve and what the issues are. What you see sometimes in high-tech companies is women sort of make it to manager jobs. There's a fairly big drop-off at director level and then a more significant drop-off at what we'd call executive VP level. And, you know, whether that's a combination of, you know, life happening to women and women still taking more responsibility with respect to family, you know, possibly. Women, when they're moving up through very important jobs in high tech, touching the code and forming the products, and then, you know, they may be told, you're great at organizing, you're great at networking, you're great at, you know, and they end up in more operational jobs that tend to get you farther away from sometimes the big, important, high-paying roles. We see a tiny bit of a trend in high tech along those lines. You know, I think this is something that many heads of HR are grappling with. We are really trying to listen to our women, get their feedback on what they think would make a difference. And of course, like so many other companies, right, we're investing in, you know, do they have a mentor? Do they have an exec sponsor? Do they have allies in the organization, right? Do they have community, right? So we've formed a big community around our women. We just had, I was just in Jerusalem. We just had a Cadence Women's Conference for, you know, about 150 women in Europe. We had just done one in North America in Monterey. And just bringing women together, number one, the networking, the getting inspired and hearing from women leaders from the outside and within the company. And then we had a big Cadence Voice session where we broke them into groups and they came back and said, this is what would make a difference in my career, right? And they gave the ideas and now we're taking action on those. So I think you got to listen to the women in your company and you got to hear what their real experiences on the ground are. And, you know, try to then adjust how you go about looking at promotion, how you go about saying someone has 80% of what it takes at the next level, I'm going to take a chance on someone on the 20% they can learn. You know, things like that, and adjusting how you make hiring and promotion decisions is something that we certainly are taking a serious look at.
I think that's really interesting. And I remember, you know, sort of in the midst of the pandemic, right at the height of where we all were globally, Harvard Business Review put out a report saying that the pandemic was going to hit women the worst. It was going to be the hardest right. on women because right. they are often in a primary caregiver role, whether that's for children, parents, spouses. It's usually 80%. And it, you know, at some point you hit the bursting point where you just can't manage it all. Something has to give. And a lot of times right. it seems like the easiest thing to walk away from is a career because you are acquiescing to making less and saying, well, I guess I don't care about the money. Yeah. I care about my life. But what I think is interesting, and we've sort of followed this thread, I've been talking to researchers and you know, you're hearing the movement out of Europe on the 4-day work week. And we're starting to hear this movement around, maybe it was something as simple as the workplace and the workforce wasn't designed with women in mind. And if we could be a little bit more thoughtful about making some of those great concessions to start to build the workforce with women in mind. And, you know, this thing called technology was supposed to make all of us way more efficient. And I know right. personally, it's just sped up the amount of work I have. And it might have created efficiencies, but, you know, as they say, water expands to fit the space that it's in. So your work gets bigger as you free up time for yourself. And I wonder if that isn't an issue that we're going to have to start to play around with as employers. Are you seeing that across the board in Silicon Valley? Is there moves towards that, or are we still wired to work 60 hours a week and be ridiculous in our level and output?
Right. I don't think the hours have come down that people are working in Silicon Valley. If anything, I think they got higher, as you said, as work, which already was bleeding into home by virtue of technology, when home was work and work was home, right? It just, I think, really bled for people. And I certainly think may have had a disproportionate impact on women. My personal belief is that the pandemic, you know, for some women, I think it's been fabulous, right? Because you got flexibility. You proved you can work from wherever you are. You don't absolutely necessarily have to work between 8 and 5. And so the flexibility certainly can help a lot of women. I want to go do a school run and come home. And guess what? I'll get back online after dinner, right? And so I think it helped during those few years. I think big question mark as to if women take advantage of the flexibility that many Silicon Valley employees are saying they're giving, but men don't, and they still show up and they're doing the FaceTime and they're putting their hand up for the extra travel. Do women over time get hurt from a career standpoint? I think it's very possible. Mm-hmm. In terms of how we're thinking about it at Cadence, we've a couple of ahas we had, you know, on top of holidays and on top of we hope you take vacation, but people really aren't taking it. We've given these global recharge days that has been one of the favorite things employees have ever experienced at the company. And we just say everyone at Cadence does not work on these 8 to 12 days a year, and it slowed the work level down. Of course, some people are still dealing with customers and critical issues, I'm sure, but it slowed the work down and people were actually able to recharge and get a 3-day weekend, you know, almost once a month. So we found that while we haven't committed to a 4-day work week, we did infuse recharge days on top of holidays and vacation. And we have committed to flexibility. So in general, this is not every single site. Some have their own rhythm, but in general, we're saying we want people in. If they're tied to an office, please come in 2 days a week. We may move it to 3, but we value the flexibility, the hybrid, to have the best of both worlds. Let's have our meetings in person. Let's still network, get to know each other. Those 5,000 new employees who started during the pandemic, let's actually have them meet people and have some community in person. So we think there's value there for innovation and other things. But we're going to trust you. The company did, you know, got its best business results during the pandemic when apparently almost all of us were working from home. So it can be done. And we're going to trust people to use their time wisely, to work where they work best, and to, you know, work on, you know, the rhythm that works for their team. So I think in general, flexibility is good for women. I think women have to be a little careful that they don't look up and they've, you know, used the flexibility literally and missed the dynamic of a team or the expectations of leaders and somehow fallen behind where they might otherwise have been.
Right. I think that's important. I think that's very interesting. A lot of companies I've spoken to in the tech sector are actually reining in their unlimited vacation policy because while it sounded great at the time and it seemed like an incentive to hire people, people weren't using it. And in fact, burnout and stress levels were higher. And so I think Forbes recently put out an article about this. And I think it's really interesting because to me, I have to agree that if I'm in a high performance job and I need to really be on, I'm not going to suddenly say, okay, I'm going to be off for the next 3 months and I'll see you later. It just doesn't work without a lot of planning. It's almost more stressful to get there than it is to take the holiday. So I think it's interesting that we're trying these things. And I think it's interesting that we're putting these things on the table, because to me it signals people are really willing to work hard to try to get to the bottom of this. Is that what you are sort of seeing in the market right now?
Well, so if we can say a couple of good things that came from the pandemic, of which many were terrible things, but you know, a couple of good things is a big experiment was forced on us, right? And again, we proved that a lot of jobs can be done from wherever, and that people are largely to be trusted and will rise to the occasion. And in fact, their commitment will exceed and lead to burnout than them not stepping up. So I think a lot of companies are then more courageous to experiment. Right. We're like, let's try 2 days a week. Let's try recharge days. Let's try, you know, some companies are trying sabbaticals and other things that they might not otherwise have tried. Because I think we're like, oh, we can try an experiment. We can pilot some things. Let's do it for 6 months or a year and adjust. So, I mean, a lot of companies were loath to do that because we had our policies and our practices for so many years. So I love the experimentation. And I love that the Cadence leadership team has been so interested in experimenting and trying. The other thing that happened was, at least in high tech, major talent shortage. And so we listened to what the talent told us they needed and wanted. So the dynamic shifted, right? The talent had a lot of leverage. And we've also learned a lot from that. What's important to employees? What makes it a great place to work for them? What's going to make us a differentiated employer? And so taking that feedback seriously and into account when setting some of these policies and programs has been really important.
I think that's great. Let's just take a minute and share with our listeners what Cadence does. And then I want to get into some of the programs you're running at Cadence, because I think they're really interesting and I want to share that. So take a minute, just explain for the average person what Cadence does, because you do some pretty cool stuff. And then I'd really like to talk about some of the programs.
Right. Well, my version of what we do might be very different than some of the engineering leaders and how well they would describe it. But I think at the simplest level, our core business has been the software that chip designers use to design semiconductor chips. And then we do other things. We make, you know, IP that's dropped onto a chip, an IP block that's dropped onto a chip. We have some hardware that's not just software, and we verify a chip so that you don't go to production and then find out that your chip is not, you know, laid out correctly and things like that. So we've got a number of businesses, but our software for chip design is our core business. And we've just been so lucky, Marie, so blessed to do so well over the last number of years. You know, as the need for electronics has only increased, and the realization that, you know, semiconductor chips are you know, integral to almost everything, you know, that is done from a technology standpoint. And as they're built into systems and things like that, our customer base has expanded dramatically. And it's a fairly tight market. There are only a few competitors. So, you know, Cadence has grown tremendously. We're now over 10,000 people. You know, our market cap's in the, you know, $45 to $50 billion range. And so we've just experienced this sort of renaissance of, you know, the world needs what we have to offer. And so we've really loved stepping through that threshold and growing with that need.
Well, you know, I think for most people, they don't realize it, but chips are in everything, right? And I don't mean the potato kind that you're eating on Friday night with dip. Chips are everywhere these days. And I'm sure we've all heard the stories of cars sitting on lots and can't be shipped because they're missing chips. And until they have the chip that runs the computer system, they can't be, they can't be shipped. And I think the Internet of Things made everything require a chip, whether we liked it or not. And it must be interesting now to watch what's probably this next huge wave in technology. and how important the chip is. But recently, and for our listeners, Cadence was named one of Fortune 100's best companies to work for. So you're obviously doing a lot of great things, Tina. And I think to be on that list, it's very prestigious. And I think it's fabulous, the thought leadership you're showing. Talk to us a little bit about the impact you think your company has made on diversity and inclusion. Because I think that's a really important topic for all of us. And again, you know, if we're a small and medium-sized business, we often wonder, what can we do on this subject? How can we contribute? Yeah. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and what you're doing at Cadence.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, we feel super fortunate to have been on the Fortune list for the 8th year in a row, and a number of other, you know, prestigious institutions like People Magazine named us, again, a company that cares, which is based on our giving programs and employee engagement and community. And we, frankly, were on sort of 29 Great Place to Work lists around the world this year. So we've put a lot of effort into those types of things. And the reason is this. I mean, of course, we love that it showcases us as an employer, but those lists are formed based on what employees have to say in survey results. Usually about 3/4 of the decision is based on your survey results. And, you know, the reason I've continued to press on with this kind of initiative is it does keep employees' voice front and center on culture, on values, on investing in employees and benefits and programs and perks and things like that that are important to them. So that's why, I mean, you know, of course we love the prestige and the brand and all that, but I have loved that it keeps employees survey feedback front and center for leaders and decision makers for us. So I just wanted to just call that out. I mean, diversity, equity, and inclusion is top of mind for most high-tech companies. We're all facing similar challenges. And you do have to be encouraged by the fact that, you know, I bet it's a top 5 priority for every CEO in the Valley. And it's certainly, I call it a top 3 priority for our CEO. So, you know, what are we doing about it that may give some ideas to others? You know, in my view, the first thing you need is you need leadership buy-in. And you know, we've gone about that a number of ways. For one thing, we tied the top 100 leaders' variable pay, their bonuses, to making a difference in DE&I. So that often gets leaders' attention. Oh, my pay is tied to this.
Yeah.
It's not just something we write in our ESG report, but, you know, that the CEO truly cares about and wants me to focus my attention on and invest time, energy, and money into. So we've said, look, we want a better representation of women, of Blacks and Latinx employees at this company. So the first thing is we got to move the needle on representation, right? To do that, we're going to get leaders' attention. We're going to tie their pay to it. We've put time and energy into also sitting down with leaders. We just had a meeting a week ago with, you know, 100 leaders at the company, and we spent 3 hours on this topic with the CEO, with external speakers like Michael Bush, the CEO of Great Place to Work, and 2 amazing leaders from Adobe, including Gloria Chen, their CHRO, and one of her business leaders, Sandeep Parsa. But we're like, let's get inspired from others and get their perspective. And then let's turn internally. What can we do differently? How can I look at candidates differently? How can I not have this kind of job description? Maybe one that's a little broader would broaden my pool. Maybe this doesn't have to be a mid-level person. Maybe I can go more junior, and then I can go to universities. And then it doesn't have to be a double E. It can be someone with a CS degree. And there are ways that if you change your assumptions on how you've always gone to market for talent, mm-hmm. and you question, does it have to be the way I've always done it? It does open up the pool, right? There's some great stats on almost 50% women graduating with CS degrees. But for us, when we sort of then cut that the way we used to do things, which is, you know, CS meets double E, and the person needs a master's or a PhD, that pool got a lot smaller. So we're really trying to question ourselves and say, can we do the requirements of the job differently? Can we, you know, go more junior with some of our people and then invest in training them ourselves and grow their careers with the company? So the first thing is representation. I think you need leader buy-in to move that needle. And then you want to have an environment that's inclusive and people feel like they belong. And we have, you know, a robust panoply of inclusion groups where we're like, we want to hear from people in that group. They have a voice. They tell us what they need. They network. They get together. We do something sort of every month is marking the importance of an underrepresented group, frankly, and calling attention to it and educating the rest of the Cadence population on issues they might not otherwise have understood or known much about. And then, you know, we're trying to train our managers, unconscious bias, allyship, right? What does it mean to think differently? And how can I challenge myself and what I'm bringing to the table? So, you know, I think the last thing I'll say is, you bring people in who may, you know, come from a more underrepresented group. You also then need to invest in their development. So we've really tilted all of our development programs. And when I looked back at our leadership development programs, 57% of who we took through that the last 2 years has been a diverse employee. So, you know, I guess representation, leadership buy-in is needed for that. Development and a lot of work on community and inclusion.
That's awesome. We had last year the CEO of Red Hat Canada on, and he's a huge champion for, he's no longer there, he's moved to another company, but he was a huge champion for advancing women in the IT sector. And one of the things they did is that whenever a position was posted, if you know, at least 40% of the applicants were women, they pushed it back out and said, no, look harder. Why is there, are no women applying for this job? What's the reasoning? And pushed it back on the hiring manager to figure out a better way to create, you know, the pool. And to the point you're making, sometimes we have to maybe adjust what we're looking for or, you know, provide an opening to somebody who might not have 100% of the qualifications, but we know we can get them there based on, you know, their skill set and their attitude and how we want to do it. And I thought that was really useful because that's just a simple practice that we can all, you know, we can all start doing tomorrow. We don't have to spend a lot of time and money on that. It's something that's like, we want equal representation when people apply for jobs. So I think
we had Marie, I was just going to say, just on what you said, it's such an important point. We had such an interesting discussion on this at the leader meeting last week. Michael Bush was talking about this kind of thing. And he pointed out, he said, you know, I'm looking at this audience and we have a lot of diversity at Cadence, right? I mean, it's very global and people from all different cultures and backgrounds and things like that. And a lot of people in the US have an immigrant story. They came for grad school. They left their families. They left their home. They took major risk. And they, so many of our leaders have the most unbelievable stories, often coming from India or coming from somewhere in Asia and coming to America and really living the American dream, to be honest. And so Michael Bush, you know, what he did was he drew a bridge between their experience and the grit and resilience that took with often the grit and resilience of an underrepresented group today. And so it's like you take someone from a historically black college with a computer science degree who may not, you know, be at CMU with a computer science meets electrical engineering master's, but they might have a lot of grit and resilience and adaptability and, you know, and things like that. And do we weight those traits enough when we're thinking about who we want to bring on. And every leader in that room thought grit was one of the most important traits we could have.
Right.
We're doing well at Cadence. So it was a very interesting discussion that you're reminding me of. So thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure, Tina. We could talk for another 3 hours, I know, because there's been so many awesome things that you've been involved with and your experience. And I'm just so grateful for people like you and the contribution you've made to these subjects and making it a reality at a company like Cadence. I've been speaking with Tina Jones. She's the Senior Vice President of Global Human Resources at Cadence Design Systems. Thank you so much for being with us today, Tina.
Thank you. Great to talk to you, Marie.
You've been listening to another episode of Women Talk Tech. I'm your host, Marie Weiss, and keep moving upwards and onwards. Thanks for listening.